and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home.
I'm Sophie Robinson.
And I'm Kate Watson-Smythe.
And if you hear any shuffling or knocking in the background, it's because we're on location.
You make it sound so glamorous.
Finally got out of our living rooms. I'm going to let you know where we are in a bit. But to kick off this new season of newness, first up, I'd like to thank our new sponsor. Well, sort of new. It's lovely to welcome back our sponsor, Topps Tiles, who are supporting us for our sixth series.
So to kick off the new series of the new year, in fact, it's a new decade, we are going to do a budget revamp special.
Now, our sponsor Topps Tiles have a get the look for less range, no less, which means you don't have to sacrifice any of the on-trend interior designs if you're on a tight budget.
The range includes classic white metro tiles, faux marble and limestone effect from as little as 65p a tile.
Now, when I'm ever doing a budget bathroom, I always like to go quite simple on the walls. Maybe that's where I save all my money, just like a simple white tile, and then splash something fabulous on the floor.
Or you don't have to have the same tiles all over a room now. So you could do something on the walls in the shower area and then do something really magnificent around the basins.
Is that a feature tile wall?
Okay, I beg your pardon?
Is that a feature
tile wall? No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's a focal point, which is not the same as a feature wall.
Well, whatever. Whether you're going to go for a feature wall or a feature floor, all you've got to do is just decide from the thousands of shapes, colours and styles on offer.
I'm going to have to actually build a new bathroom somewhere, aren't I? On the roof, maybe? So I can use them.
How's 2020 treating you so far, Kate? Any intentions for this shiny new decade?
I'm not big on resolutions.
Decade.
Decade.
Yeah, exactly. You haven't decayed yet.
We should go with that.
Any intentions for the... You see, look, it's the beginning of the year. I've already lost it. It's terrible, isn't it? Any new intentions?
I'm decaying gradually. Well, no, I don't make resolutions because I just think you're setting yourself up to fail, or I am. I like a list, which is not the same as a thing of resolutions.
Okay, so what's on your list?
Well, I have a couple of plans, which I'm not going to reveal at this stage, but I'm very excited.
I'm going to tickle you.
New book.
Oh, yes.
Coming up in March.
Nice.
And I'd quite like this year to not work 6 days a week.
Yes, hear to that.
That would be
more
quite
like a 4-day would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, we could go for that. What about you?
So I suppose my big plan for this year, well, we hopefully pull it off, but we're just putting in for planning permission at the house to do an extension.
Where?
So, you know, my living room is on the south end of the house and the kitchen is on the north end of the house. And there's a bit of a walk between the two.
Well, and there's a sort of, is it an 80s glass conservatory?
Oh, it's a really hideous 80s glass conservatory. We're kind of like, it's not the best living space. So when we bought the house, we always wanted to do this extension, but we think now might be the time. So essentially, we'd be adding a kitchen dining room where the conservatory is presently and making the living area a bit more open plan.
Have we resolved the issue of your office, which against all my advice, you painted white, even after I banned it? It was clear disobeyment, is that a word?
Disobedience.
Disobedience on your part. Have you got a colour?
Oh, have I got a colour? I've got a wallpaper in mind, actually. I've got a wallpaper in mind, and it's really strong and really leery. So the absolute antithesis of me painting a room all white, thinking that was going to create something peaceful and tranquil and help me come up with new and fresh ideas. All it's done is made me feel flat, depressed and uninspired.
I did warn you.
So I'm just going to go to the absolute opposite extremes and it's going to be pattern on pattern on pattern. Probably bright pink, lime green, teal, electric blue.
I think I might cry. Maybe all that talk about your new office is a good time to say what this episode is about, because we're going to do a budget interiors special.
Yes, we felt this time of year when people really feel that they want to refresh their homes, but let's be honest, we don't necessarily have much spare cash. Plus, of course, we're all aware of the importance of consuming less, living more sustainably, and the three R's: reusing, recycling, reducing.
So today we will be talking about, first thing, where to spend and where to save. Then we're going to have a few tips on make, do and mend. And finally, you'll get a front row at a masterclass with the absolute queen of creative upcycling, Annie Sloan. In fact, as Sophie mentioned earlier, we are on location in a gorgeous vintage shop in West London, which sells the most fabulous furniture and clothes. We're nestled among all these fabulous vintage clothes.
It's been very hard getting you to concentrate.
If I get distracted, I'm just doing a bit of clothes shopping. No, we have, this shop in West London has a back room, which we are going to take over to do our own furniture painting with Annie Sloan a bit later on in the show.
I cannot wait to see you in a penny. It's just going to be the best day ever.
I don't know what you mean.
So, okay, let's get started.
Yes, get on with it. Never mind me in a penny. It'd be a vintage one.
So first up, we are going to talk about where to invest and where to hold back when it comes to interior design. And is it true that if you buy cheap, you buy twice?
Mm. Do you know what I think? It's slightly depressing advice, but I do think you have to spend a certain amount of money on the boring stuff when you start. And it's not sexy and it's not exciting, but you've got to look at your roof and your windows and your electrics and your plumbing. And in fact, when we moved into our house, which was two rental flats that we were converting back into one house, we basically spent all the money on that, windows and doors. And I remember we needed a new kitchen and I think we did the whole thing for about $3,000.
That is such a common story, isn't it? And you see it again and again with all the TV makeover shows and everything, that everybody spends all the money on the build and then when it comes to the interior decoration, there's hardly anything left. And that's going to be the focus, I think, for this conversation. We're not going to talk to you about where to get your cheap plumbing from or where to get your affordable windows. We're going to talk about all the pretty bits with the little money that you've got left over. And as you talked about, I think the foundations are a really good place to start. So for example, I always say things like flooring is a good place to invest. It's sort of the foundation of your home.
Literally.
It's something you're not going to switch up very easily. So one of the things I went for was an engineered wood floor. So engineered wood means you've got real wood as your surface, but it's cheaper than solid wood. And it's quicker and easier to lay down than solid wood. The top layer of your engineered board, basically you've got a slither of wood across the top and then it's kind of softwood underneath, tends to be between 3 and 7 millimetres. And how thick that is depends on how expensive it is. So again, it depends how much traffic you've got running through your house, I guess. But you can resand, reseal. I just think it's a really good mid option, I suppose, middle budget option for flooring.
We've got floorboards throughout our house, so we've sanded them.
You've got painted floorboards, haven't
you? Well, we painted them because they're old floorboards. They tend to be pitch pine, which just is a bit orange. And sometimes the varnish makes it go orange and nobody wants an orange floor. So we decided to paint them.
And that's a really affordable thing to do. And in Renos as well, I know sometimes you get your builder to just put new pine boards down if you haven't got the lovely original boards.
Yeah, just 2x4s. Paint them.
And paint them with specialist floor paints is advisable. And then you can cover it up with rugs.
And as many layers as you can do is the key to that.
Now, what do you think of other budget options like laminate and vinyl? Where do you say, oh, look, see, big gulp. I knew you'd get all snooty with that.
It's got a lot better. Over the last few years, the laminate flooring options have got much, much better. And they are, because they photograph the pattern onto the vinyl.
Yeah, it's basically printed paper, isn't
you
it?
That's what a laminate is. Until you touch it, you can't tell. So I have got some in my downstairs loo, actually.
What, a bit of laminate?
Bit laminate. Do we call it laminate? It's a bit of vinyl.
Is it vinyl or laminate? So
I think I might rebrand it.
I think of the laminate as the planks that fit together. And the vinyl is like you buy it on a big roll.
Yes.
Which one of you got the roll or the planks?
I have no idea. But it looks like floorboards and it's fine. And I know people who've done the whole of their downstairs in it and the whole of their flat because it's warm, it's non-slip, it's cushioned, it's easy to clean. There is a lot to be said for it. That said, you get what you pay for and cheap laminate looks cheap. So it's not necessarily a budget option.
Yeah, but probably, you know, if you're going, for example, those really trendy patterned encaustic tiles that everybody's loving, which are so expensive, not only to purchase, but to lay and to seal, you're now seeing some really nice rolled out vinyl to sort of mimic that pattern tile thing.
So I'll tell you what we did as a budget in what is now my son's bedroom, and you know when you sand, you well, I have sanded floors in my time. Those days are behind me now. So we hired a person to operate the sander on a day rate, and we got him to just sand around the edges and just paint around the edges, and then we put a really big rug over the top, but a leftover carpet. So we saved ourselves probably a day rate there and spent the day rate on a piece of carpet. Big piece of just plain carpet, which we had hemmed in a contrasting colour.
Nice.
And that was quite a budget way to do that room.
Do you know, I hate to blow your bubble, but that isn't such an original idea. You know, the Victorians did that.
I didn't know that. I can't believe she knows that.
Yes, you know, like quite often if you rip up your carpet or flooring in an old Victorian house, you quite often see a dark stained board around the edges and then it's rough timber in the middle. And that's because they would have their floorboards, do a nice ebony stain around the edges and then roll their big rug out in the middle.
That's fascinating because the number of floors I've sanded in flats over the years, and I've always wondered why it was so black around the edges. And now I know. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so another big investment when you're doing up your house is painting all those walls. And it has to throw up the question, do you go for a designer paint, aka £50 a tin, or can you go budget? I mean, for me, I'm like, if you're on a tight budget, then there's, I just don't see how you can justify spending loads of money on expensive paint. I think it's one of the things that has to go.
I think it's a luxury because, yes, it's beautiful. And we have discussed expensive paint and whether it was worth it in a previous episode. So
episode 6 of series 1, if anyone wants to hear that whole debate.
Go back to that. So we don't necessarily want to go over that again. But yes, you can get fabulous colours in budget paint. And, you know, then you can afford to change the colour if you want. There's nothing worse than spending hundreds of pounds on a colour and then in the year's time going, oh, I fancy changing it. So, you know, I think...
especially if you're doing the whole house, if you're doing a reno and you're having to buy a lot of paint all at once, going for one of the big manufacturers like Johnston's, Dulux, Leyland's, Crown, they can always cheekily get the colour quite close to your designer
paint
if you
so wish.
Well, and
there are so many colours. I think absolutely, you know, just go for it with the paint. And, you know, wallpaper...
Before you go, we skip onto wallpaper. Spray paint, what do you think of that? What's your views on spray paint? Have you ever used... No, just as like a finishing. You know, like sometimes people spray kitchen handles or...
You see, I'm really up for the idea of spray paint.
Are
but
you?
It's really tricky, I think. So we wanted a bucket to go by the side of the wood-burning stove.
What, and it to was put a, your...
to put the tongs
ashes.
In
oh,
it,
oh,
the
right,
tongs
okay.
and the tools. And I wanted a tall, thin one, which I suppose is effectively a flower bucket.
Yes.
And I couldn't find a tall, thin one in black. So I thought, this is fine. I'll buy a silver one, costs a tenner. I'll buy some black spray paint. How hard can it be?
Yeah. Hmm. Seriously, Kate, how hard can it be?
Well, it's quite drippy and messy. And, you know, I'm glad it's black because it blends into the background. That said, I mean, I have seen people... Do you remember there was a period a while ago when brass first came in and the high street stores hadn't quite caught up, so there were loads of overhead lights which had chrome finishes.
Yes.
And people were all over Instagram and blogs going, just buy, you know, some brass paint and spray it so it's
yes.
brass. And I thought that was incredibly clever, and I still think it is, but I couldn't do it. I think
no,
it's harder than...
Just step away
it,
from the spray.
It's
from the
harder
spray
than
can.
It looks. I think if you can practice...
Yes, and the tip is to be a good distance, and they do tell you on the can the distance you should be.
Who reads
away,
the can?
Back to basics.
The instructions
shake
were
the can.
On the back of the can. I only looked at the front.
Hold it away from the item you're spraying and lots of thin layers rather than one thick,
that's
drippy
where
one.
I go wrong.
Yeah,
I just can't do, you know, little enough.
My general rule is I think it's great for decorative items, handles, furniture, but I wouldn't recommend it for things like taps because... It just chips and wears and then it looks dreadful.
Yeah, I can't believe you would do it. Would
no, it? People ask me sometimes, can I spray my chrome kitchen tap gold? And
really?
I'm like, no, I don't think you can. Not if you want it to look good for it.
I mean, that said,
than...
I bought a fairly cheap black kitchen tap and I think, you know, the colour's coming off there. And that wasn't even sprayed. I didn't even touch that one. So, yes, spray paint to be used with caution, but a good idea.
Yeah, good idea. So yes, wallpaper.
There's so many beautiful, affordable wallpapers are now. I mean, obviously, I'm in love with the Fornasetti at £5 squillion billion per roll, but there are other options.
Well, I, like you, I'm a lover of a designer wallpaper. And I have to say that is where I've splurged on something that, you know, because just the print detail, the colour, the richness of a designer wallpaper or something that looks hand printed or is hand printed and you get that lovely sort of 3D effect. So I think, again, if you've got like a small room or you're just going to do one wall or one alcove or something like trying to like jump out of a chair, then I think, yeah, maybe that is where you can kind of splurge. But otherwise, you know, sites like here in the UK, Wallpapers Direct has every brand from high end to low end. And I sometimes think if you put in, for example, Jungle Print, you'll get all the expensive ones. But there are some amazing affordable brands who are kind of like creating those on trend looks for less too.
You know what often is the key with trying to do it budget is time. It's time to research it all, to say I'm going to set aside whatever, 2 hours to look for wallpaper and I'm going to look through all of them at all budgets. You know, I mean, it's the same old thing, isn't it? When you run out of time, you just tend to throw money at
it. Yes,
so
yes.
So that's what you could, the best tip maybe is to give yourself the time to research everything, whether it's flooring or paint or paper or lighting.
Yeah, well, bringing us on to lighting, that, you know, one of my key things with lighting is you need time to plan properly. Now, especially if you're in the refurb renovation part of your build, you know, before you've even got paint on the walls, get off Pinterest, stop looking at cushions and get your lighting plan fixed at this point, because this is the time when you've got the electricians on site, because it's really expensive to change lighting after the plaster has been in and it's all been painted and decorated. So plan, plan, plan. And again, I think I probably would spend a little money on my lighting. I mean, the downlighters we've used in our house, I got from All Square Lighting, who are a lighting designer based in London, and they were more expensive than your bog standard downlighters that you get on the high street. But the quality of the light, it's not so glary in your eyes when you're sitting in the living room or in the bedroom. It's a softer light. It's kind of recessed up into the light fitting. So you don't
Say as well, we did our sort of big electrical work nearly 10 years ago when we moved in. And we did buy cheap lights and we've had them redone twice. We're constantly doing bulbs. It's been a nightmare.
Yeah.
Absolutely a false economy.
But then if you were doing that 10 years ago, again, the technology of lighting's changed so much in that time, hasn't it?
Oh, do I get a free pass on being a bit rubbish? Hooray!
Actually, thinking about it, John Cullen Lighting, who are based in London.
Yeah.
Absolutely not the budget option. If you've got it, spend it. But they are, you know, the absolute, you know, they're a really, really great authority on lighting. And I went to one of their lighting design evenings.
They
it was about 30 quid.
Yeah,
£30
to
go for
an
evening.
Expensive.
Sally Cullen was hosting it, who's their
she
director.
Knows everything.
She knows everything. And I learned so much in one evening. So I'd really recommend
those
if you're near London.
I mean, that is London-based. But that said, if you were to look at my blog, madaboutthehouse.com, Sally Cullen came to my house. Have you not? Do you know, it's not bad. Sally Cullen came to my house and I did a series with her about her walking through every room in my house and telling me where I'd got it wrong, quite a lot, where I'd got it right, not so much, and what you could do. So, you know, that's a free resource, if you like, if you can't get to London to do one of their courses.
So what would I search if I was trying to find that
blog
post?
How to get the lighting right in insert room of choice.
And you do that in the search bar and there it is.
Yeah, there
brilliant.
You go.
Okay. So from lighting onto fabrics, one of my personal faves. One thing that you can get away with fabrics that you can't do with wallpaper is you can start using like remnants, end of roll, vintage fabrics. It kind of opens up all of those sorts of avenues.
Sometimes I think you have to look carefully at some of the vintage fabrics because they might be more delicate or not washable.
Or not fire retardant.
Many years ago, in fact, when I was about 15, we're not going to do any sums as to how long ago that was, but I made a fabulous pair of trousers out of my granny's curtains. In the spare room, they were great trousers, but...
So it's not a tangent?
Well, it's just I unhooked them and I made them into trousers and then I wore them and then when I washed them, they completely fell apart. So, just be careful of vintage fabric.
Well, I've made loads out of vintage fabrics over the years. I think the key is buy upholstery grade vintage fabric. Some of the 50s and 60s and 70s prints are actually, you know, I think they call it bark cloth. It's quite kind of thick and tough.
And also mattress ticking is cheap, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I love a bit of ticking.
And that's a great foil to any pattern. So actually, if you've decided to splurge on some fabulous material for some cushions, you could do the whole sofa in mattress ticking, for example.
Yeah, yeah. So areas that require a lot of fabric, curtains, sofas, headboards, go plain or go for something more affordable, and then use those lovely designer fabrics on something like a Roman blind or a cushion or a footstool, for example. And then an area I do like to spend with fabrics is I do like to use a seamstress to make blinds and interlined curtains. I mean, it gets really, really expensive, but I have curtains to say, better than a ready-made if you can afford it. Having said that, on the ready-made front, I bought some ready-made curtains from Habitat.
I was going to say this was a tip you made before and it's worth repeating.
Yeah, I think they were, in the sale, I think they were £45 a pair. We had this hideous eyelet heading tape, which I don't personally like. I think unless you live in a beach house or something, you shouldn't have eyelet curtains, personal view.
Is that the round
metal circles? The round chrome circles.
That goes on, yes.
So I took them to the seamstress and she stitched two ready-mades together so they felt really, because the thing is, the ready-mades are never wide enough.
That was the good tip, I thought, is you effectively bought four curtains.
I bought four curtains, stitched a pair together, then because I bought longer than I needed, she whipped off the eyelet and just put a deep pencil pleat.
I mean, actually, the high street now, there's lots of velvet ready-made. So if there's a plain colour you like, and instead of just buying one pair, you know, buy two pairs, sew them together, and that will give you that luxurious cost at a fraction of the price. I mean, that's probably like you could spend £100.
So another area where, well, it's actually the most expensive room, I think, in the house to eat up your budget is the kitchen.
There are so many ways around that, though, because, yes, you can have one of those very expensive designer kitchens where you'll get no change out of 50 grand. But as I say, we had no money left over after having to do new windows and doors and lightings. And we went to IKEA and I think we spent £700 on cupboards, changed the worktop, bought a tap from somewhere else. So we did the details.
So it stopped it looking like an IKEA kitchen.
Exactly. And then a few years later, we got rid of the standard IKEA doors and had some more made out of MDF to fit that we could paint different colours. And actually, I went to Lucy St. George's house the other day, who's half of Rocket St. George. She lives around the corner for me. And she's got a very on-brand all-black kitchen. And I was raving about how gorgeous it was and pulling open the drawers. Don't invite me round. I'll be into every cupboard, as you know. And the sides were sort of clear glass or perspex or something.
What, the sides of the cupboards?
The sides of the drawers. And it looked really cool. So, I mean, I think IKEA has...
That was an IKEA kitchen.
I think she's repainted the front of it.
But hold on. You pull out a drawer, which is solid front-facing, and the sides are made
clear.
Of perspex.
I'm just going to say they're clear because I don't know what material
they are. Why do you need that? Why is that a thing?
It just looks nicer.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to get all grubby and fluffy and you're going to have to get your glass cleaner out and polish the inside of your drawers.
Do her
That just sounds wacky. It's brilliant.
I think, you know, IKEA kitchens have come on leaps and bounds. I mean, it's probably like this competition, isn't there? Because as they say, there's Howdens, there's IKEA, there's places where you can just buy the doors.
Well, the good thing about Howdens, just to flag it up from a budget point of view, is Howdens carcasses come ready built. So you don't have to either A, build them yourself, or B, pay your builder or carpenter to build them.
Which is more on the day rate.
So there is a saving there if you're not building your kitchen yourself. And I don't think many people are. It's quite complicated. Yeah. Think about if you buy carcasses from Howdens, they get delivered, they're ready to go in. So you're saving time and the cost of labour. So we had
my
to
doors
that.
Were naked kitchens doors.
Oh, yeah,
and you can just
doors.
Buy the replacement doors and hang them on any carcass.
I'd say again with naked, they're not the cheapest replacement doors, but my goodness, you look like you've got a designer kitchen by the end of it. They look really, really lush. Now there's a sort of like real interior design mantra that you should always invest in worktops. That is a place where you shouldn't scrimp. A good quality worktop, because it takes so many bashes and strains. But actually for my worktop in my kitchen, we went reclaimed. We went to our local reclamation yard and I bought old school science worktops, which are made of Oroco. So they're like a dark, reddy brown.
I've got that in my bathroom.
Oh, you've got that in your bathroom?
I did that in the bathroom.
And we have £500 for all our worktops in a solid hardwood.
Can I just say they don't cost that if you buy them in London?
They don't cost that.
The takeout there is perhaps source that sort of thing outside London.
Yeah. And another quick tip before we move on with kitchens is X display, or they're called A-graded appliances. Do you know about these?
No.
So these are basically appliances that have got surface scratches, but quite often to the sides or the back of the unit. So for example,
that is a good tip.
They've been dented or scratched in transit, so they can't sell them at full price as new, but actually they've never been plugged in, they've never been used, they've never been run, and actually from the front facing they look completely fine. I bought them on eBay. You just search A-graded appliances, or there are certain websites that just trade in A-graded appliances.
Top tip.
Top tip. Thank you. Glad I squeezed that one in at
the end.
There you
go. I'm squeezing you out of the kitchen now and into the bathroom. There's a lot of detail.
Oh, it's very hard room to do on a budget, I think, bathrooms. They are majorly tricky rooms.
They are.
Because they're so technical as well, and you've got plumbing involved. And on that basis, I think when you're doing a remodel, if you can try and not move the utilities, as in where the drain is, where the toilet is, where the taps are, you're going to save a fortune on the plumber. So if you can work with the original layout, that's a big saving.
And I think, you know, my tip would be, having come unstuck here, is you won't get away with cheap taps.
No.
I've got cheap taps and they're really lime scaly. They're just not working very well. I need to replace them, and that feels like it's going to be an expensive job.
And the showers and things like that too.
But as we said at the top, you can budget on the tiles, keep the same layout. You know, if you can paint quite a lot of the wall,
that will help.
So that also will save you money.
Yeah, or tongue and groove I've used quite a lot. You can even buy tongue and groove on bathroom graded MDF panels. It's usually green in colour, which means it's resistant to water. And I've used that in... You can even have that around the bath, but just not in the shower. Yeah. But around the bath, around the toilet, around the basin. A note on budget sanitary ware. Because my husband's a builder, I know that certain clients of his have bought on some of these online bathroom websites and bought really cheap WC sink and bathroom. And what happens is quite often he says, like, parts are missing or the plumbing isn't compatible with stuff you can buy here in the UK. A lot of this has been shipped from Asia. So I'd say before you just hop online and get really wooed by the cheap prices, talk to your plumber or whoever, your builder, whoever's doing your refit, because it's not always that cost effective, and it can, again, end up holding up the build, holding up the refurb, costing you more in labour, holding up the whole project if the plumber can't get the right bits to fit it.
So given that it's tricky to really save money in a bathroom, let's come into the sitting room, which actually is a room where you've got the most freedom because there's nothing you have to have in there.
No, and you can do it slowly. Yeah. See, the problem with the bathroom, you've got to hit the whole thing in a one-er, haven't you?
It's great work.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas when you move into living rooms and bedrooms, you can kind of collect stuff slowly over time, which is really how most of us live. Very few of us can just have everything off the bat.
You can choose, can't you? You're going to buy a really big telly in the January sales and sit on an orange box, you know, or you're going to buy a sofa and just stream it on your laptop. So you've got options in those rooms.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the big ticket item, TV aside, the big ticket item is the sofa, isn't it? Right. And actually, this is the perfect time of year to be looking for bargains in the sales, because it is such a big piece of furniture and the savings can be so huge. The other thing as well to look out for, surprisingly, is it's not just the budget furniture stores who do interest-free credit. So do ask any of your retailers what the deals are to buy something and pay for it slowly over time. But that said, I would spend on a sofa.
Sofa and a bed.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, with a sofa as well, I think I know people who have been caught out buying really good looking sofas online at some of these sort of more affordable online retailers. And actually, they just look shocking after 18 months because the cushions have misshapen, the fabric's worn badly. And then, again, same theory to the bed. We spend a third of our lives lying in bed, probably more like half if you're me.
But then some of the accessories you can save money on, you know, for example, lamps. You know, you don't have to have a design classic lamp.
I mean, I bought quite an expensive Weissbrung bed. I mean, they're well known for being really top quality, but I got 30% off in... Actually, it wasn't the January sale. They do another big sale in May for anybody who can't get it together to do it in January. Don't feel the pressure. They're having them all the time. So where do you source all this great stuff that's going to save you money?
There's $64 million question.
I think we've got to headline eBay, haven't we? I know anybody who is doing an interior on a budget is probably spending 50% of their life scrolling through eBay.
It's time again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Be quite specific about what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, I bought my kitchen chairs from eBay, and I worked out very quickly, having put in vintage kitchen chairs, that there's an awful lot of stuff that comes up flagged as vintage style, but it was made last week. And also, I wanted 6 chairs, and I kept getting pages and pages of 1 chair, 2 chairs, 4 chairs. So I then put in set of 6, and that immediately narrows it down. So the more specific you can be, the less you've got to scroll through. So actually, if you take a bit of time working out your search terms, you will, in theory, spend less time scrolling through the wrong stuff before you find the right thing.
Yeah, and there's a toolbar on the left-hand side, isn't there, that you can tick. You can even tick
your filters,
used,
yes,
for example, which will get rid of a lot of the new stuff if you're not looking for new. And I think another big hurdle that puts a lot of people off eBay is the getting it home. You know, what happens if you find that brilliant Eames chair, but it's in Northumberland and you live in Brighton? There are some great companies, like, I know Anyvan off the top of my head.
Well, Shipley. I use Shipley, actually, who I'm going to add into my Do Less Harm directory. So you then sort of get in touch with them and tell them what you need picking up from where and where you need it bringing to. And they sort of take 2 or 3 days to fill a van with all the stuff.
Oh, clever. So they're then using one van. So they're not doing a unique trip.
They're not
just
doing
for you.
It just for you. They're then going round and they're going, well, those chairs are going to Sheffield, that's going to Leeds, then I'm coming down and stopping off at one part in London and then another. So that's a really good way to do it.
So it gets the miles down and the cost down for
and
you as well, I guess.
It's actually really affordable. Cost comes right down. So that's
brilliant.
That means you don't have to be frightened of where it's come from.
Yeah, because I think that's always put me off in the past. It's just like, oh, how am I going to get to Dumfries?
Exactly. Yeah. But that's not a problem. So my new kitchen chairs cost me £50 to get from Sheffield to my house in London within 3 days. And I could have gone cheaper and I could have gone more expensive. There is a sort of parameter, you know, how fast do you want it? How long are you prepared to wait?
If you want it urgently, they'll charge you a
bit more.
Then
you probably have to pay more, which is fair enough.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
So, yeah, that makes eBay a lot easier. But there are other sites.
Yeah,
so
Facebook Marketplace has really boomed. That's something that I've never really used, but everybody tells me that that's a great place. And again, helps you find stuff that's been up for sale locally, as well as Gumtree. I think a lot of people know how to use Gumtree.
And FreeCycle, clues in the name.
FreeCycle is brilliant. And FreeCycle's also brilliant at getting rid of stuff, which can be a cost. You know, if you're having to pay for rubbish collection, and again, we want to keep stuff out of landfill. So, for example, if you're ripping out an old kitchen or appliances that you no longer want, but they are still useful, bath. Even sometimes, I remember once putting a bath that was out of a really grotty refurb, and an artist bought it to dye her fabrics in.
Brilliant.
And she didn't buy it. She got it off FreeCycle. Yeah, so, you know, even though it wasn't good enough for a bathroom, somebody found a use for it. There's also another website called Preloved, which is really, really popular.
So, but I think the other thing is, once you've bought all these things, most of us have leftovers.
Remnants
of all sorts.
I've got a real remnant hoarding problem.
But you see, you've done a really clever idea. So I just was looking at ways we can use up some of these leftovers. So when I did my bathroom, I had a few leftover tiles, which weren't enough for another room, but I used them on a fireplace hearth. And they worked really well. You've done that fantastic thing in your holiday let with lots of leftover bits of material, and you've made a padded headboard.
Yeah, patchworking old fabrics.
With old fabrics. So bedspreads, headboards. I've already said about buying a large piece of carpet and using that as a rug.
And you can get that from carpet outlets, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. And they will put you in touch with someone who can hem the edges. And also, my current favourite idea is Bianca Hall, French for pineapple. She's used, I think, leftover tester pots or even leftover bits of paint in larger tins. And she's painted, for example, a big coloured square on the wall and then hung her pictures on that.
On the coloured square.
So it really creates a focal point. It's a brilliant idea. I love that.
Then there's this great new website that I've just discovered. It's just been going for a year. It's called HainesCollection.com. H-A-I-N-E-S collection. All these links, by the way, will be on our blogs as show notes. I'm SophieRobinson.co.uk.
Even you don't know who you are.
She's roundaboutthehouse.com. But this company basically are taking designer fabrics, sourcing them from seamstresses who always, you know, who are making all the headboards and the curtains, and taking end of roll. And these are designer fabrics, like really lush stuff. And she's uploaded them all up on her website for a fraction of the price.
Oh, good tip.
So she's actually doing it from a sustainability point of view because she's trying to stop fabric going in landfill. She says in a year she saved 350 meters worth of designer fabric going into landfill. But if you're looking to have some designer fabric to make a headboard or a set of curtains,
it's
worth hopping on
there. Absolutely. So I mean, I think the takeout from that basically is sort of be more granny. Save, yes, reuse, find new ways to use leftovers.
Is that a hashtag, Kate?
I think so. My new hashtag, Be More Granny.
And do jump onto our Facebook page, The Great Indoors Podcast. It's a group. Ask to be invited. We'll accept you. And hop on there and share your Be More Granny tips and ideas.
There we go.
So next on our budget revamp special, we are going to be tackling some upcycling ourselves. Yeah, you are.
I don't know why you're looking at me like that. I'm all over the upcycling.
Just step away from the spray paint, okay? Yeah. Anyway, luckily, we have Annie Sloan here to guide us. Now, Annie is a world expert in decorative paint and colour. She has a fine art background, but she turned her attention to painting and has been hailed by The Telegraph, no less, as one of Britain's most influential female designers. She has published a stonking 26 books.
That's me falling over.
Move over, Kate Watson's mine. And invented a magical substance called chalk paint, which she'll be telling us more about. Annie, we are thrilled to be here and talking to you.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm pretty thrilled to myself. It's fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm most honoured. Thank you.
Actually, I'm the only one who hasn't got a penny on yet.
I'm all pinnied on.
Oh, where's the pennies?
So, just to set the scene, before me, I've got this lovely workbench, and there's a roller, a couple of paintbrushes. Look at this, Kate. What's this?
Oh, my God. She's got monogrammed sandpaper. I clearly am not, you know, 26 books, you get your own sandpaper. 23 more to go.
This is all very exciting. What have you got in store for us?
What you're going to do is malachite. So, you're going to paint...
What?
What? What are we doing?
Well, behind green, you is that little table.
Oh, gorgeous. Oh, this is... Oh, it's like So Blue Peter. Is this the one I made earlier?
I'm trying to be really sensible and professional here, and all I can do is giggle. I'm sorry.
I'm going to take over.
Go on, what's malachite?
I'm going to say, what is malachite? It's green. Is it a precious stone?
Yes, and it's copper. It comes from a copper thing. It's all to do with copper, and that's why it's green. And they usually cut it to make tables out of it, and it'll be put into sort of triangles and squares.
Or like an inlay.
A sort of tiles.
But it's this really lovely, would you call that like an emerald green?
Yeah, it's an amazing green. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
So we are going to effectively create something that looks like a sort of green marble, malachite
table. Yeah.
But the key for this, talking about our budget then, is that this is a great way if you've gone and bought a cheap piece of furniture or a bit of junk furniture from a car boot sale or something. This is a great way to personalise it, make it bespoke.
Yes.
So we're going to do malachite today, but other people could just buy any colour paint on any bit of furniture and just paint it.
And this is a very good time to tell you about my bookazine.
Is that the 27th?
Bookazine.
She's got merch. That's what she's got. Merch.
Oh, my goodness. I never thought of it like that. That's perfect. So, in my third bookazine...
Which is called
The Colourist.
Lovely.
Yeah. And we have things at the back which are step by steps.
I wanted to raise the point actually of whether it's easy or not, because we spoke earlier in the show about spray painting, and I've said I've had a go at that, and it was just a disaster. It was drippy and thick, really? And I'm not
so
good at it.
This is where you're starting from, Annie. She can't even use a spray can.
I can't use a spray can. I think they are so bad. Because you think, oh, it's not enough. Oh my God, now it's drippy.
Exactly.
So, no, it's horrible.
So the point I think you're making, I'm not putting words into your mouth, but is that anybody can do this. Yeah. You can take any bit of furniture, a cheap old chair, a table. I've got a brilliant bedside table I found by the side of the road.
Perfect.
That sort of thing.
That's exactly what you want. And you also, there isn't too much pressure when it is found by the side of the road. You don't think, oh, my God, I've paid loads of money for it. Mm. You can just paint it. And if it doesn't work... Do you know what the great thing about paint is? You just paint over it.
But have I got to spend ages, you know, I mean, I love your monogram sandpaper.
Thank you.
But is there a lot of sanding and prepping and cleaning? Because, you know, I'm bored already. Oh, there's
so
not.
Am I.
Excellent.
So am I. Ah. I'm just not that person. I can't bear it. I need
Quick results. We're all about the quick results, aren't we, girls?
Yeah, I'm about quick results. I'm actually quite patient, but I don't want to be doing boring things.
No, absolutely.
So things like having to sand is just awful. So my pain, the whole point about it was that you don't have to sand, you don't have to prime, you just start painting.
I mean,
dip your brush and go.
My brush.
Okay, go on then, on that note then.
So we are doing something on an MDF. So this has got a little MDF tabletop. So the next thing we need to do is to get that colour there, which is Florence, the bright green.
So that's like a bright teal.
Yeah, that's it. Plus the white over there, which is old white. No, that's the varnish. That's varnish. So yes. You put your amount on there. I put three spots of it. And now I'm going to put it really...
Oh, I need another brush.
I find paint just, it's so gloopy and gorgeous, isn't it?
So this paint is thicker than most people think paint should be.
Yeah.
You can actually, look, you can stick the stir stick in there.
And what's the reason for it being so thick?
Well, I'd have to kill you if I told you. So I can't tell you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mix the two colours together, which is really, it's about a lot more white than green.
Actually, that's quite a good tip. It's surprising how much white you need when you're mixing paint,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, people always start with a dark colour and then add white, and it's so wrong. You start with a light colour and you add a little bit of colour.
Top tip, definitely.
That would be right if you were mixing paint for your walls as well. Yeah.
So I'm going to take my brush. I'm going every which way.
You really are slapping it on in all different directions. It's not a sort of methodical backwards and forwards.
No, that's the other thing that you've probably been taught. Lots of people have been taught to paint like this.
Yeah, which is up and down.
Such a pain, and I can't do it myself. So I'm painting every which way, basically, and getting it fairly smooth. You don't want thick. So I'm just painting it. And I know it looks like I'm slapping it, which I am to a certain extent.
It's quite therapeutic, isn't it? Do you find painting furniture therapeutic?
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I get letters from people all the time. Not letters. No.
Emails.
Or even messages on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Even that. In fact, loads of those. And Instagram. People going... It's just amazing. You know, I had a breakdown or somebody died and now I'm doing this and I can't tell you how wonderful it is. Or people who just found that they thought they were uncreative and they do this. And my things are all about, you know, you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. So it's that element of taking something unloved or unused or unglamorous and making it look fabulous. That quick round transformation is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, already you can see me and Kate are like itching, chomping at the bit. Because it just looks, it's just nice to get your hands mucky and do something practical.
And the wash-up's easy because it's all water-based.
All water-based.
Okay, you've got that mix. You could use that.
Should I just use some of that?
Yeah. You could use that.
Can I just put this here? I've already got it all over my hands. Is there a cloth?
Wipe it on your
pinny. Wipe it on your
hands.
Oh, we've got some blue flour.
So we're now letting that dry. We've got hair dryers to dry.
Oh, hair dryers. Oh, I love it. Yes. Oh, look, top tip. How's this going to be on audio?
Oh, delightful.
It's going to fall over death,
there you go. There's yours.
I used to have this hair dryer. So first coat on, then a coat of lacquer.
Yes.
Has Annie got some special monogram brush you can only paint with? You guys can use those, but Annie, I must have my brush.
I must have my brush.
I can't paint if my initials aren't on the equipment.
Now that's all dry.
So now we've got a plain square in sort of variations of teal, turquoise, call it what you will, with some a fine varnish over the top.
So what we're going to do is we're going to make a mixture out of the green, the Amsterdam green, and the varnish. The varnish is there to give it transparency, translucence, beautiful word. And I'm going to make my marks with a very, very, very expensive tool.
An old teabag box,
exactly. So you just find the right sorts
of... So thin card is the key.
Thinnish card. Okay, so now I'm going to take my card and move it gently.
So you're basically just sort of wiggling the card through the wet paint to create a pattern.
It's like a fan pattern, isn't it?
A fan pattern.
I did my first corner really well and I'm not doing so well on my second one, but then I just painted over it again and I'm started again. So I'm just going to
keep
doing
it. This is like my third go at my first corner. And what's so lovely is when I started doing it, it felt quite tight and my sort of organic shapes weren't looking very organic. Yeah. And I've just slapped more paint on, had another go. And actually, the freer and more willy-nilly I am with it, the kind of better it looks.
Yeah, it is.
So
yeah.
I recommend having a double gin and tonic before you start doing this.
Great.
That's a satisfying noise, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's lovely. There you are, there's your brush.
And I'm been your favourite project you've worked on? Is there anything that really stands out for you?
Oh, the Oxfam thing was amazing, absolutely fantastic. So they asked if I would do something with them, make a colour or make a paint. And that's what we did. We made a paint colour.
Made a colour for them.
Yes. We made a colour called Lem Lem. But I didn't know what Lem Lem in the Ethiopian language. Lem Lem means sort of fertility.
Oh, right.
And that's what the country needs because it needs water and it needs... And it's a very fertile country, actually. But because of various political things that are happening, it doesn't get it. So Amy and I went to... Ethiopia about 2 or 3 years ago, and we went everywhere. We saw some of the most incredibly inspiring things ever. We went to the areas where there was terrible drought, and we saw awful things. It was really, I mean, will stay with me forever. Mm. And then they took us where they're putting money into these female farmers. Oxfam had helped them have their own bank accounts, and they had their own businesses, and they had their fields that they were growing. What was the project was onion seeds. So the fields of onion seeds, if you can imagine, they're alliums.
Beautiful. Because it's a sort of ball. It's almost like a dandelion clock,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
Yes.
And made up of little tiny white flowers in this field, which everything green underneath. So that was our Lem Lem colour. It was the combination of the green and the white together, which in a field, you just get this very, very soft green. And so I translated that into a paint that would be good for furniture. And we called it Lem Lem. And we sold the paint and gave a percentage to Oxfam. And we gave Oxfam $250,000.
That's incredible.
Yeah, 250,000, which is unbelievable. And I often look back and think, God, did I do that? That's amazing. Aww.
Can you still buy really the paint?
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
So is it on your paint chart? Lem Lem.
Yes,
so actually it's quite a pale, do you know, it's a bit neo-mint.
Yes.
Yes, it's slightly yellower than that, isn't it? But it's a very... fresh.
It's a fresh, fresh colour.
No, it's
young,
not far off a mint, is
mint,
it?
Minty, yeah.
Green.
And of course, all my colours, I make them to be stronger and brighter because then you can knock them back if you like.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, something I'm really, really proud of is the way that my colours are made because of my fine art background. I don't put black into my colours. Pigments tend to be very pure and bright and strong. And so what you want to do is temper it to make it into a charming colour. Something
so
you
it sort
want.
Of has a softness to
a
it.
A softness
it?
And a sophistication, a complexity.
Right.
So how do you do that? Well, most paint companies add black and that will temper the colour down. But what I do is what painters would do is add the complementary colour.
So these are on the colour wheel, aren't they? Colours that are opposite one another. So I've got a really bright red and I want it to feel more earthy.
Yes.
Rather than adding black to it, I would add
green. Yes.
Okay.
And it's fascinating. I mean, I could...
So it gives you more depth of colour, actually, doesn't it? Because the black can kind of deaden it, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
So it's creating a sort of richer colour.
Yes. And my colours are made for mixing. So if you put two colours together, if they both had black, what you'd end up with quite a lot of black, but they don't have black in them, just gives you this wonderful, rich, gorgeous colour.
Fascinating.
Yeah, well, I think it is.
You're an alchemist. Paint alchemist.
Paint alchemist. I wrote a book called that.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm surprised you couldn't remember.
Ta-da!
That
is amazing, Annie. So I mean,
and mine's not looking too different from the Masters. Actually, I'm quite pleased.
I think you've all done incredibly well. I really, really, really do. Honestly, I think it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's been. Yeah, it's been an education. You are fascinating to talk to. I could talk about colour with you all day long. But before we let you off the hook, before we finish, Annie Sloane, do you have a design crime you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I suppose mine would be something. You know, people look at all the photographs online and on Pinterest and they see all these beautiful, beautiful white rooms. And I want a white room and I want a grey room. And like, okay. And then I've done it. I used to be an interior designer and people would do their grey rooms because it's always been like that, the greyish rooms. And then they go, oh, it's really dull. I don't really like it. And I just would say, please add a little bit of colour.
Woman after Sophie's heart. And also she's banned white paint, you see.
So you we're banned both, white I've banned I white banned paint. Gray.
Yes. So there we go. So just in summary, Annie, we can buy, anyone can buy your paint at anniesloane.com or at independent sellers, of which there are 2,000 in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. So pretty not good. Difficult. Track down the paint. And the colourist Bookazine, you can also buy online for your website or also from WH Smith's.
Exactly right. Yes, yeah. Exactly right.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's been really, really fun.
So in summary from our budget revamp special, from our spend and save section, really the big take home here is invest in those sort of hardware areas, be that a floor, a kitchen worktop, a sofa, or your bathroom taps. Also, we urge you to be hashtag be more granny and reuse and save your remnants and put them to good use. And do jump on our Great Indoors podcast Facebook group and share your be more granny tips and tricks. And finally, what I'm taking from our section with Annie is paint is not scary. It's fun and it allows you to be playful.
So we've just got time to remind you, actually, well, instead of rating, reviewing and subscribing, if you like the show, why not tell someone about it? January is a time for staying in and battening down the hatches. So why not spread the interior's joy? Tell a friend to subscribe and make sure your hatches are marked beautiful and useful before you, well, batten them down. I have no idea how you batten something. What even is a batten?
And thank you to our brilliant sponsors, Topps Tiles, to our brilliant producer, Kate Taylor, and to you, our most brilliant listeners, for sticking with us as we splash paint around and talk nonsense about buttoning down hatches.
Happy New Year to you all, and we'll see you in the great indoors. Like eating cement with fruit on top.
No, it's more like just eating sort of wet, soggy pond slime.
Nice.
With some hard.
Nice. And you volunteered to hand over your money for that. Good. Yeah. Right. Okay.